Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Please turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll be in verses 1 through 5 this morning. 1 Peter 5. Verses 1 through 5, and just a couple more sermons in the book of 1 Peter. But looking forward to continuing to this morning. But it's good to be back with you after a week away. I very much appreciate Pastor Bob Aki being willing to come back and speak in my absence. And we had a great time in Lancaster at the church that I grew up in, and it was good to see people that you know and catch up a little bit. But you know what I was thinking? It's also good to be home. And that's what I call Clearfield and this church. That's what we, Kate and I, call Clearfield and this church, is home. And it's where our hearts are. It's where we serve the Lord with gladness. And you are really our family away from our biological families. And I love being your pastor. And it is that very topic, pastoring, that I want to talk about that really rises out of our passage for this morning. And so I want to read that text and dive in. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And we'll stop there for this morning, as that's what we're going to cover this morning. But leadership is important. One of the most common issues that, if you think about employees across the America, one of the major issues that they talk about is their management. If they have many issues, that's at least one of them. And that's because good leadership is critical to any organization, especially when you face hardship. And so if you see, when it comes to the realm of the church, if you see an unhealthy church, you can most likely look to the leader. If you see a church that is giving in to the pressures of the world, the most likely culprit is at least the leaders. It starts with the leaders. It's because many times a church can be encouraged or discouraged based on how their leadership responds to times of crisis. And so that's why Peter, he just talked about the fiery trials that we face, right? And that's why he sees and moves on to leadership, because it makes a difference. A well-ordered, healthy, and functioning leadership is critical, especially in times of persecution and hardship. And it's critical to the whole health of the whole church body. And so Peter knows if a church is going to, and he's talking to suffering Christians who will be facing a lot of suffering, if he knows that, if a church is going to persevere during persecution, he needs to start at the top. He needs to start at the church leadership. And that's why he moves on and talks about the elders. Now, before I go further, what exactly is an elder, which Peter talks about here? Well, an elder is what we typically call a pastor. So throughout the New Testament, a pastor has three different titles, but they're used of really the same thing. So sometimes you'll hear shepherd, which means pastor. You'll see elder, and then you'll also see overseer. They're all the same position. And so the title pastor actually means shepherd. And so if you ever call me Pastor Matt, you're essentially calling me Shepherd Matt. In our circles, we often use the title pastor most often. I don't think, at least in our circles, I've ever heard anyone say overseer. Now, you do use elder, but not so much overseer, but it really is describing the same thing. Pastor and overseer are pointing to more of the functions, so shepherding, overseeing, when elder is more of who they are. A clear passage where you see all three is Acts 20, verse 17. Peter calls the Ephesians elders together, and he's talking to them, and he tells them, he calls them overseers who shepherd the church of God. So right in that passage, you have all three titles given. Here at First Baptist, we do have elders. We have three of them. I'm one. Dave Learish, Ed Katherman are the other ones. I'm paid full-time to focus in on my time, especially preaching and teaching and things like that, while they aren't paid, but they are still elders just the same. And so this passage is important for someone like me and the other guys because it tells us what exactly we should be doing and how we should be doing it. And so that's really the prime application for this passage is to us. And so this morning, this text puts me in an interesting situation, doesn't it? Because it's really, I'm preaching to myself primarily. But yet if this passage isn't directly applicable for you, why is it important for you to hear? So if you're not an elder, why is it important for you to hear? Well, the first and most obvious is we are to preach the whole counsel of God. This passage is the next in line in 1 Peter. So, of course, we do not avoid any passage of Scripture, but we preach the whole counsel of God. And so that's the most obvious one is we don't skip over, but we see is important the whole Bible. But also, it's important for you as a church, you as a church member, church attender, whoever you may be, it's important for you to know all about elders as well. So you should know how a church should be structured, how it should function. You should know what healthy leadership looks like in a church. You should know what to look for an elder, what to expect from an elder. Because if you think about it, it's sad because there are so many church members who don't know even what do I look for if I choose a new elder? What do I... they end up looking for the wrong things instead. They instead of going passages like this one, okay, this is part of what we look for in an elder, what we expect from him and whatever it may be. And what happens is there's many church members across the world that also they have unhealthy leaders and they don't even realize it, right? And so what happens is these men aren't held accountable to the Word of God because the very church people aren't thinking about passages like this, keeping them in mind. Okay, I need to expect this out of my pastor, out of my elder. This is how the church should function. This is how it should be set up. And what happens is these men cause terrible damage because the people aren't holding them accountable to, no, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is how it should be done. And that's why it's very important. Because imagine how many more healthy churches there would be if every church member knew, I know what an elder is, I know how they're supposed to function, how they're supposed to act, and so then they hold their leaders accountable to the Word of God, and then they become more healthy and God-glorifying as a result. And so that's why it's important for you to even know this. As well, like each person should know, okay, this is how it's set up, this is why our leaders are there, this is how they should be acting. And so don't go in cruise control, don't shut off your brain, this is important for you to know, and even the beginning of verse 5, there will be some a command, an application for you to heed as well. So let's get into it. The first point I want to share this morning is this, an elder should shepherd the flock of God among him. Elders should shepherd the flock of God among him. Pretty basic, right? Yet Peter does expand upon that. He includes many descriptors of what this should, how this should be done, and he will go on as, and we'll see that as he goes on. But he begins by identifying he is a fellow elder. I exhort you as a fellow elder. So Peter could have just came out and just waved around his apostleship card and said, just listen to me. But instead, he wants to identify with the other elder, with elders. And he wants to know, this isn't someone distant from you. This isn't someone distant from your situation, but he wants them to know, he wants elders to know, I'm in this together with you. Right? He's not asking them to do anything that he hasn't done already. He has striven to be a fellow elder, to do exactly what he exhorts them to do. You know, there's something comforting and relatable when someone, we can hear from someone who's in the same situation. And so we know that, man, this isn't coming from a place of being higher than me and puffed up, but really they're just encouraging me, exhorting me to persevere as a fellow laborer, as a person in the same position, to keep doing what I'm called to do. And so he also says he's a witness of Christ's suffering. He's like, it's kind of, but here you see, do see some authority coming out, was I was there, I saw Christ suffer, and really it's implied that he is an apostle. Yet he doesn't stop there. He also shares in the glory to come. He's a partaker of the glory to come. Right? And so he's encouraging the elders and saying, hey, you like me, we're going to be partakers in the glory to come, and the glorious things that are coming when Christ comes again. We all get to share in that. We all get to partake in that. And so he's using this as a foundation to remember, keep your eye on the glory to come. We're partakers of the glory to come, and so keep shepherding. And so that's just the introduction here before he gives the command. And so he says the main command there, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. This command can sum up the pastor or elder's role in one command. Shepherd the flock of God. You see, God often uses the images of sheep for his people. And that's what he means here when he says the flock of God. The church, the people, those who believe in Christ are the flock of God. Its leaders are its shepherds. Really, they're under shepherds, under Christ the chief shepherd. But that's what he's pointing to. That is the flock of God, the church. And so this kind of reminds us first, for you guys, is you need to be in the flock. You should be serving and worshiping and being encouraged. You need the rest of the flock. You are part of something bigger. So the Christian life isn't meant to just go alone, but you are part of the flock of God. But also it shows us that you need to be shepherded. You know, if God didn't see the shepherd as important, why would he even emphasize for elders to shepherd the flock of God? And so it points to that you need cared for and protected and fed. And an elder's role is just that, is to shepherd. To shepherd is really just to do all that a shepherd does, right? A shepherd leads and guides. A shepherd tends and cares and protects and feeds. And that's exactly what an elder should be doing and is called to do, is that they lead and guide the flock of God in the way that is directed in Scripture by giving the church direction and godly leadership. They tend and care to the needs of the sheep by loving them, being there for them, caring about their souls on a deep level. They protect them, making sure, hey, there's no wolves coming in, there's no false doctrine trying to creep in. They feed the sheep by regularly proclaiming God's word, maybe publicly, privately, whatever that may look like in different ways throughout their ministry. And this is really my role and responsibility to shepherd, as well as Ed and Dave's too. We ought to be shepherding and all of that, what that looks like. And we do this for the flock of God. It is God's flock. And may we always remember that this is not really ultimately our flock. This is God's flock, right? And so that comes as weight of we're caring for and we're shepherding God's flock. It is his. We always need to remember that. But notice how he also says the flock of God that is among you. Meaning we aren't accountable for every single Christian in the world. We aren't accountable to shepherd every single Christian in the United States or even Clearfield. We are accountable for the flock among us, meaning here at First Baptist, this flock here is the flock among us. And so let me ask you, are you a part of the flock of God here? here? If not, why not join us in membership? Why not get more involved? Why not be committed to this flock? And what a better time than now to join this flock, the flock of God at First Baptist. You know, church membership is just really a practical part of it, is a practical aspect of determining, okay, who is the flock of God and who is not. Because you get in situations where me as an elder, am I accountable to the random person that comes off the street and comes here one Sunday of their life? And I'm pretty sure each of us would say, no, I'm not accountable for the person who comes in one time, but then who am I accountable? And so this helps us, and really commitment and service and things like that help us. Okay, this is a part of the flock. This is who I'm accountable for. This is who I should be shepherding, really. And so it's helpful who we must shepherd. But an elder should shepherd the flock that is among them. They are what God uses to tend and care for the sheep who are in various locations all across the globe. You know, this command for me is important as I evaluate my ministry here. Am I shepherding the flock of God here? That's really my main role. And really, according to this, then your expectations of me should align with this passage, with this command. Meaning this, a pastor shouldn't be focused mainly on fixing things around the church building, although they certainly can do that at times. A pastor shouldn't be focused on entertaining people. A pastor shouldn't be focused on a million other things to the detriment of shepherding the people of God. He is called to shepherd the people, the flock of God. That's his main focus, feeding and caring and protecting and leading the flock of God. Because I've heard of pastors so focused on the finances or so focused on building that they neglect shepherding. I've heard pastors so focused on just simply running programs and keeping the programs running that they aren't tending the sheep. They aren't caring for the sheep. Right? So may God grant me the grace that I need to remain focused on. This is my main goal. This is my main task, is shepherding the flock. Lord, help me not to be distracted by the many good things. They are many good things, but yet non-shepherding tasks that can detract away from this main command, because really, that is the main command that God has given to the church leaders, the church elders and pastors. You see, when I'm able to focus and remain faithful in shepherding, that is really when I'm being faithful to God's command. That is really what you need, is an undistracted shepherd, one who is actually shepherding well. You know, and I believe the church has been great to me in this way with your expectations, is you don't expect me to do this list of things that are non-shepherding tasks, but you expect me to shepherd the flock of God, and I appreciate that because it's helpful. You know, they're not expecting me to do all this list of things, but simply shepherd, oversee, and all that entails. And so I appreciate that from this church, because I know there's other churches who don't have those expectations, but they have others' ones. But this is the way that God has commanded, and he desires for his church to function. But he doesn't stop there. He continues saying, exercising oversight. So this is an aspect of shepherding. So shepherd the flock of God, exercising oversight. So this is a critical aspect of shepherding, is oversight. And so this is why elders can also be called overseers. It means to watch over, oversee the flock of God. It's really to oversee the spiritual state of the church. They are accountable to oversee that everything is going the way it should. So it would involve, of course, making sure no false doctrine is introduced, making sure, are we following God's word? But it includes overseeing people. What spiritual needs do people have? And I oversee what needs they may have. Look for signs of division or disunity, things of that nature. These are imperfect illustrations, because it's not a parent-child relationship or or a supervisor relationship, but really the example would be like a parent with a child at a park. Is your child is playing, and what does a parent do? They oversee their child playing. You're responsible to oversee, okay, are they going to about to fall off the edge of the slide? Are they about to get into something? Do they need guidance in this way? I oversee what's going on. Or what we would call a supervisor at work. You're overseeing the activities of that day. Okay, is everything going smoothly? Are they doing things right? If you need to step in sometimes and guide and lead in certain ways, okay, I'm overseeing, I'm watching over this flock of is everything going the way it should? But it also is important for the sheep, because maybe there's a sheep wandering our way. Elders can look and see, okay, I see that, and I'm going to step in, and I'm going to love them and see what they need. Maybe a sheep who's hurting spiritually, and you can see that, and you can use the healing power of Scripture and share that with them. That's really their role, is watching over everything, making sure everything is going the way it should, and leading in that way. And so this is a much-needed job, overseeing the flock. Think about someone who are a church without anyone overseeing the whole church. You know, it's easy, and as church members, you can help others. You can oversee and watch people. Are they struggling with something? And often you can look over those things. But you need someone who's overseeing everything. Okay, is this working the way it should? Is that according to God's word? Oh man, I see the sheep walking away this way. I need some extra care there. And so it's helpful to have that in a church, because without it, it's a recipe for disaster. Because sheep start just wandering off, and things are introduced, and all these things come into play without someone overseeing and having that perspective of the overwatching the whole church. And so this passage is exactly why in our church constitution it talks about elders, and it says this: the elders will be the spiritual leaders and have general oversight of the church membership and all aspects of this church and its ministries, end quote. So as you can see, we as a church, we're simply striving to follow what God's word says. We're saying elders, as we see in God's word, are going to oversee the functions and ministries of this church. And so that's what we should always strive to do. Okay, are we doing what God's word says? Okay, yes, we're following here, we're following there. Yes, we're following what it says. And so that's important. And so Peter gave the task to the elders, main task, shepherd the flock. Exercising oversight is an important aspect of that. And he moves on to now the manner and motives of shepherding. And so that's what you see, and he starts to give some commands, and these are the manners and motives of shepherding. So you got the main task, shepherding. Exercising oversight is an important aspect of it, and this is the manner, this is the motives that you should have as you shepherd. And so you'll see three sets of commands, and he'll start with not to do this, and then he says to do this. And it's really the opposite of what he said not to do. Now, before I get into these commands, let me make a side note. Of course, we need to always understand that even an elder is not sinless, right? We're still sinful. I'm sinful. Ed's sinful. I think Dave is sinful, right? We're all sinful. So just to remind that we're not going to do this perfectly, as any a sinner is imperfect, but these should characterize our lives. So what I mean by that is, let's say, be an example to the flock. When you think of this elder, could you say, yes, overall, characterize their life, they are an example of a godly person. And that's really what it is pointing to. But let's see what it says. The elder should possess or not possess. First, verse 2, they should shepherd with the right heart. Peter says, shepherd the flock of God, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. An elder should not do his job because he's forced to do it. He should not do his job because he's pressured to do it, because he's pressured to be an elder, or shepherd. He should not do his task out of mere obligation. And he should not do his job simply because he's pressured by these tough situations to be an elder. An elder should not do it because, you know, someone has to do it. I guess I'll be an elder. No, that's not the way that God wants. God wants men of God who will lead willingly. And that's what he's pointing to. He wants people who are willingly stepping up and leading. Men with the right heart behind serving the flock. He doesn't want people, when you're forced to do something, when it's compulsion, you're more often to do it out of half-heartedness. Your heart isn't really into it because you're being forced to do it. Okay, I'll do it, but I'll get by. But he wants guys, men who are wholeheartedly, willingly shepherding the flock of God. And that's what God wants. This is as God would have them, right? As God would have you. And really, if you think about it, an application for you is really this willingness is the pattern of all of service to God, right? Wherever you serve, God wants you to serve willingly. He doesn't want servants who are just doing it, oh, I guess someone has to do it. I guess if I'm forced by God, I guess, he wants people with wholeheartedly, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to step up and serve in this way. And really, that's a pattern for each of us to follow, and not just in an eldership. So for you, wherever you serve, you do it willingly. Like, you willingly do it, not out of just being, I feel compelled to do it by someone else. And so a shepherd, a pastor, an elder should shepherd with the right heart, but also an elder should shepherd with the right motives. Peter says, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. This goes right to the heart of an elder's motives. Are they in it for the money, or are they in it because they want to? They truly want to. And this has been a problem among American pastors. You see scandals arise all the time. You think about pastors making millions shepherding the flock of God, and you see elders embezzling money, and you see pastors looking for the next way to make a buck, promoting their personal brand or their ministry. But an elder should not be in the ministry for shameful gain. Shameful gain is just this greedily, covetously obtaining money. Like, it's that person who just shamefully greedy. The way they obtain and look for money is just shameful. And that's really what he points to with the word used here. The way they go about looking for money, trying to get money and receiving money is shameful. Now, of course, the obvious... obviously, shameful gain isn't simply providing for your family's need. That isn't a shameful thing. Each of us are called to do that. But it's more this idea of greedily wanting more and more money for yourself. You see, God doesn't want the under-shepherds, his under-shepherds, to be all about money. He wants them to eagerly serve, eagerly shepherd. He wants the elders to shepherd out of the right motives. Like, why are you actually doing this? Are you doing it for money or fame or whatever it may be? Or are you doing it eagerly? Like, I want to do this. I truly want to do this. Like, I want to shepherd this flock. I want to serve here. I love and I eagerly shepherd this flock. And that's really what he wants. That's what God wants, is people who have the right motives, men who have the right motives. Like, I eagerly just want to serve this flock here. And so an elder is someone who's not looking to amass a bigger bank account, but eagerly desiring just to care and shepherd the flock. So an elder is really someone who loves God's people among him, and he just eagerly wants to care for them, not for selfish gain. And so an elder is a selfless, generous man, not looking for more and more money, but simply serving the Lord with gladness. And so an elder should have the right heart. Wait, I'm willingly doing this, should have the right motives. I'm eagerly doing this, not for more and more money, but I'm eagerly doing this. And also, he should shepherd in the right way. You see, we should shepherd in the right way. God cares about how you shepherd, how an elder shepherds. And it's important to God. Notice what he says in verse 3. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. A pastor should not be domineering in his leadership. The idea of domineering is like you dominate your sheep for your own advantage and control. It's imposing your own will and lording it over people. And so this is when elders abuse their authority. They get on a power trip. They act superior. They start to control every little thing in a mean way. And it's kind of like this mentality where they probably won't say it, but the impression is, I'm the boss around here. I tell you what to do and you do it. That is domineering, and that is what Peter is talking about, what not to do. You know, you would be shocked to hear some of the stories of domineering pastors that I've heard about in the past. That's not the way of Christ. That's not the way of Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 10, 42 and 43? James and John, what do? They come and say, hey, can we sit on your left and right hand in glory? And Jesus says, what? You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Same word. And their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. He's saying that's the way of the world, right? That's not how you should be. You should be a servant. You shouldn't be someone domineering and lording over your leadership. Lording your leadership over the flock. Leaders of Christ Church are to be humble servants. They're to be, really, they are leaders, humble servant leaders, right? So they are not to dominate over the flock, for their flock is simply those in your charge. He's saying they're not yours. They're God's. But they are under your care. The word used here is really a lot, a portion, a share. This is what is allotted to you. This is what is assigned to you. An elder is allotted a portion of God's whole flock, and it's under their care. And that's the image here, is that they are not your own to dominate over. They are God's, and you are simply a steward of God's portion, the portion that God has allotted to you. And so we're elders shouldn't be domineering, but he says rather be examples. Church leadership should be one of exemplary godliness, not excruciating control. They should lead by example, right? Not by intimidation or authoritarian method. You see the contrast, domineering rather than, or don't be domineering, but rather be examples. You see the contrast is this, domineering leadership says, you do what I say. But leadership by example says, you know what, I'll do it, and you watch me, you follow me, you learn. Right, that's example. See the big difference between domineering, you do what I say, and hey, I love you, hey, I'll do it. You watch, let's do this together, let's learn, let's grow. You see, God doesn't want these high and mighty leaders who are throwing around the weight of their authority, but he wants simply servant leaders. Servant leaders, men who are gentle, godly, demonstrate great examples to the flock. And so if we looked at all of these commands, how would we summarize it? You could summarize it this way. An elder is a godly, humble, selfless man who loves God's people, wants to care for them, and shepherds them well. And so if you look at these commands and what Peter's saying, it reminds us this. An elder in the church is not a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Right? They are not a CEO, domineering over people, unwilling to get his hands dirty, seeking ways to grow his six-figure salary. This is not a business. This is the church of the living God. And that's what Peter is reminding us. Hey, this is not the way of the world. This is how God wants you to lead. This is his flock. This is God's flock. And you ought to be living led Christ as a servant leader. So elders are not to serve in order to greedily grasp more and more money. They are not to push around and dominate the sheep with their authority. They are not to serve because they're forced, but they are to eagerly, willingly shepherd the flock of God as an example. And this is the beauty of God's kingdom, because it's simply that the leaders of the church are just gentle, godly, generous, humble servant leaders. And isn't that leadership amazing? Isn't that leadership attractive? Don't you want to follow someone like that? You know why it's attractive? Because that's the way of Christ, isn't it? That's how Christ leads. Those things could perfectly characterize Christ. And he has made the world and made the church to function in line with this kind of leadership, this kind of servant, humble, sacrificial leadership, but leadership nonetheless. And so may God help me, may God help the other elders to strive towards these things as we shepherd you. And so those are the responsibilities of an elder, but also you see the promised reward. And when the chief shepherd appears, Peter says, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. There is a chief shepherd, and his name is Jesus. He is over all of the under shepherds, and all of the elders are accountable to him. He is the chief shepherd because he is over all and leads the whole flock of the world, God's flock of the whole world. And while his under shepherds are over these little portions all across the world in whatever location that they're in. And the reward is faithful shepherding. The reward comes when he comes again. And so this is what godly, faithful elders can look forward to, this reward. Though they often don't receive much now, they can look forward and anticipate a reward in the future. The reward of the crown of glory. And part of it is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It is the honor of faithful service when Christ returns, and this honor will never fade away in eternity. You think about earthly praise and earthly rewards, they vanish. Right? But this reward lasts forever. It's unfading. Unlike the temporary fading crowns of the approval of others or financial success in this life, there is the unfading approval from God himself. There is honor awaiting a faithful elder when Christ comes. And it reminds us, he doesn't overlook his servant's faithfulness. God recognizes faithful service. And you know what? And when those elders receive their crown of glory, they're going to give it back and throw their crown at his feet. Revelation. God rewards faithful service. And this reward really is what sustains an elder. This reward is what sustains a God-fearing elder through hard times. This is what sustains an elder when he may not receive any commendation from anyone else. This is what sustains an elder even though it feels like his shepherding isn't doing anything. The crown of glory. You see, when that popular pastor whose theology is wrong and methods are unbiblical and bank account is overflowing and they look successful to the world's eyes, the faithful pastor serving away among his flock can look to a passage like this with hope and encouragement that he doesn't need all that. For what truly matters is what God thinks. What truly matters is what God thinks, and he can look forward in anticipation to his crown of glory. That never fades. And that's the reward of a faithful elder, and it's a glorious reward. But I was thinking, isn't that amazing? Because it reminds us that, you know, God doesn't just love us and shower us with grace by sending Jesus to die for our sins and give us eternal life. That would be enough. But he loves us and cares for us so more to go even on top of that and says, you know what, I'm going to reward my faithful servants. And you see that in Scripture, in the New Testament. You see that in his parable, that he does reward faithful service. He cares about it. And he loves us in that way. And that's the love and generosity of the Lord. So the elder should shepherd the flock of God among him. But he, as he continues, beginning of verse 5, an elder should be submitted to, especially by those who are younger. So Peter is concerned about the elders, and he gives a lot of space to that, but he also briefly talks about the church's role in regard to the elders too. He says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders." Now, many people wonder, okay, why is he talking to the younger only here, and what's going on here? But most likely, he's probably talking to the younger people here because they often have the biggest temptation to be independent, to rebel against authority and those in leadership. And the idea is, the implication is, if he's addressing those who struggle the most with submission, then it's implied that the church, the whole church, should submit to the elders. And that implication is pretty firmly on firm ground when you think about Hebrews 13, 17, talking to the whole church, obey your leaders and submit to them. And so that's why I phrased this point the way I did, especially those who are younger. But what does this mean? What does it mean? What does it look like? It means that as a sheep in the flock, you defer to their leadership. That's what submission is yielding to the roles that God has set up. And so you yield your preferences and desires about the church to the elders who are called to lead the church. So it's being willing to follow and to submit. But of course, this is not blind submission, right? This is not where you just listen no matter what, because if they're going against God's word, you have a responsibility to follow God above all, to follow God's word above all. And so we saw that in the other relationships, husband, wife, government, citizen. We saw that there is submission, but ultimately you follow God above all. And so that is the same idea and principle here. There should be accountability to the God's word, but if they are not going against God's word, they should be submitted to. So really, it's more of this attitude. Submission is an attitude, then reflects itself in action. So this attitude of voluntarily yielding to the leadership, and this general attitude of submission and desiring to submit to the spiritual leadership. The Holman New Testament commentary made a very practical and yet very powerful quote about this. Listen to what they say. "Some church members believe they have a right to sabotage pastoral leadership, to speak critically of pastors, to slander them, to castigate them simply because they don't like them or their leadership. God has not given the members of the flock this responsibility. When they take this upon themselves, they allow Satan to use them as his tool for division and destruction in the church. The message here is clear. When pastor shepherds lead their congregation with responsible and godly leadership, and members of the flock resist this leadership, those members are in disobedience to the Lord and have opened the door for Satan." Gripping, right? Powerful, right? It shows the need that we need to follow God's structure of even the church, of his leadership structure. And so that means that elders should be doing these things, shepherding in these ways, as we found out this morning, but also it just means also that those church members should then be submitting to the leadership that God has set up and the importance of that. But elders should be shepherding well and be submitted to, and that's really the big idea for this morning. Elders are servants who lead the flock of God, so they should shepherd well and be submitted to in humility. And so really that's what it comes down to, is elders are servant leaders. They're simply servant leaders. But they're tasked with a big job: oversight, shepherding the flock among them. And if you think about it, this is going to take boldness on the part of the elders. This is going to take boldness and conviction and leadership. But within that boldness and conviction and leadership, there needs to be tenderness, like a shepherd. Care, gentleness, generosity, and ultimately, what does it take? A love for God, a love for his people. A love for God, and a love for his flock. And when they do this, they're shepherding well. They're shepherding like their chief shepherd who they are accountable to, and therefore they should be submitted to out of love for God and the roles that he has set up. You see, when the elders are doing their job rightly, and when the flock is responding to that leadership rightly, that's when you have a healthy church. And that's the way that God has created his church to function, and that is a church that will persevere through perilous times. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for passages like this one. They are unique, as they aren't like the other typical passages where addressed to everyone, but they're addressed to elders. And we thank you for passages like this because it reminds someone like me, someone like the other elders, of our duties and what we should be doing. And so we feel the weight of that. We feel the application of that and the responsibility of that. But it also is a good reminder, Lord, of how you have set things up, of how each person in here should know exactly what an elder does and the expectations, but also of their role. And we thank you, Lord, that you have provided a church that is structured, that you have set up things so that there is organization and structure and things can function the way they should. And we just thank you for practical things like this that we can be reminded of. And I pray that we as a church would always follow what your word says, especially passages like this. I pray that you would help me and Ed and Dave as we are the elders of this church, that we would take these things to heart and that we would be molded by your word and growing this area, and that we would shepherd well. And we need your grace in this area. In Christ's name, amen.